Hey guys, what's up? Welcome back to the Founders Journal. It's Sydney and Colin here. We hope you guys had an amazing Easter.
Yeah, happy Easter to all you guys. I hope you enjoyed some good quality family time, even though I've been trying to hurt my family for the last 3 weeks, getting a little annoyed in the quarantine, but we're making it.
Yeah, if you guys are listening for the first time, the Founders Journal is a place where young entrepreneurs come to tell their stories in order for others to learn about business.
Yeah, and this week we are super excited to give you guys the first journal entry in the Founders Journal. This week, our story comes from someone who started her business in August of 2018. She's grown her business nearly 50% in a year. In that year, she broke 600 online orders from her new platform that she's built. And in just under 2 years, she's gone from zero following to nearly 2,000 on her personal on her business Instagram page. With that being said, it is the one and only Miss Queen of Jewelry, Sydney Briggs.
Hey, thanks. That was dope, Colin. I'm ready to get this thing rolling. I'm excited to be the first journal entry.
Yeah, that was my best shot at an intro, so I really hope you hit the drum line. Anyways, we are going to hop right into this story. Sid, let's hear how you've been able to create your own jewelry empire.
All right, so starting off in high school, I was like very into the arts, like very creative. I'm pretty outgoing and driven. I'm a big projects person, so love when they assign projects in school. And that's just kind of like how I think and how I'm like wired as a person. And I just feel like this kind of set like the backbone for my desire to be like an entrepreneur and just like the jewelry aspect of my business. And so people wonder like why jewelry specifically. My friend back in high school, we would do like a ton of DIY projects because we were always like, oh, we could like make that better than them. So we made jewelry and we would sell it on our Instagram stories. I don't know about you guys, but I think it's kind of annoying when people like sell stuff on their Instagram stories and it's like their personal account, like it's not meant to be like selling stuff on it. So we kind of just stopped making them. And then one day I found like our old supplies in the closet and I was like, hey, like, you know, maybe I could start selling these again, but I didn't really want to go the Insta story route. So I did some research and I was like, you know, like maybe I can make a business out of this whole jewelry gig because we just like would make little chokers, which weren't very special at the time. And I like compared like Etsy and like my own website and I decided to go with Etsy. Etsy, I opened that. I opened my shop and I called it Hippie to You, August of 2018. And I put like 10 things up on the site. And, you know, I get a lot of questions as to why I named my business Hippie to You. So, kind of funny story. I was like thinking of all these different names. I wanted it to like kind of have like a boho, like, twang to it, I guess you could say. And I was like, I had this list and I was reading them to my mom because my mom helps me with a lot of my business decisions. And I was joking and I was like, oh, like, what if I called it like Hippie DU, which is actually, it used to be the name of my Finsta, which is like a funny, stupid Instagram that people used to have in high school. And my mom was like, that's it. And I was like, are you serious? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, all right, I guess I have nothing better to name it, so Hippie to You it is. And I love it, so it's definitely unique. And so the first day of sales actually went really well. I mean, I thought at the time, I thought it was groundbreaking. 7 sales, woohoo. And so, yeah, 7 sales on the first day, and then Etsy, it just kept rolling. So every day I was getting orders. And I opened up my Etsy like right before I left for college, kind of an inconvenient time. So I'm from Minnesota and I road tripped out to Colorado where I go to college. And the first month of school, I didn't super pay much attention to my business, like very not involved in my business, like never posted on the Instagram that I made for it, didn't really like promote to people that I had a jewelry business at all. And then there was this, like, everyone was talking about, like, fall recruitment, for Greek Life, and I was like, I don't know if I want to do a sorority, and I was like, well, like, you know, great way to, like, meet friends, so, like, I'll just try it. So I ended up joining one, and thank goodness I did, so go GFI, because I swear that, like, my business would not have, you know, grown as it has if it weren't for that, because of the many doors that have been opened because of my sorority, which I'm ever so grateful for. So Etsy, the Christmas sales were amazing, blew up. Etsy does a really amazing job during Christmas of like promoting businesses and getting your name out there if your store is doing well, which is really awesome. And sorority orders were coming in during this Christmas time as well. The issue, though, was that when I first started my business, which was around, you know, like the Christmas time was my busiest time that I'd had, my inventory wasn't there. My demand was high, but my inventory couldn't keep up. And something I've changed in my business structure is that I used to buy supplies and I would, you know, guesstimate of how many I could make out of the supplies that I had instead of making it all. And then like plugging in my inventory, I'd be like, I'd look at like a chain and be like, oh, like I think I can make like, you know, 4 necklaces out of this when I could really only make 3. So that kind of set me up for some issues, but it's something I've worked on and, you know, gotten over that hurdle. So spring semester rolls around and I get asked by my sorority to do a pop-up, and this was my very first pop-up, and it was for Mom's Weekend, and I prepared hard for this event. I thought I was very ready, and they said, hey, like, we'll give you one large table, and I was like, all right, like, I want to fill this thing up to the top, like, I want it to be full and look nice and presentable, and I truly thought I was prepared for this event. I brought every single piece of jewelry that I had available in my dorm room, like, every single piece. And I was at the event, so I had 2 girls working it, but I was like enjoying the event because it was my sorority, and go to find out that I sold out of every single piece. There was not one piece left at the event. And I remember going back to my dorm room and being like, oh, I have to have like more earrings to sell. Like, but no, I truly like sold out. Like I had 0 pieces of jewelry left, like my whole business, all inventory gone. So that was like a really big like wow point in my business for me, of just like, wow, like people actually might really like my jewelry. Maybe I should start like investing more of my time into this. So this event really helped open the doors to other sororities and clubs, because they saw, oh, like there's this business that, you know, is willing to do pop-ups, like how fun, like let's have them at like our philanthropy events. So I got to go to Kappa, Zeta, Kappa Delta, Pi Phi, and like G Phi again. And they all went super well. And I was able to like expand my pop-ups to multiple tables, make presence known. And what was awesome was I told all of the Greek organizations that I paired with that, hey, I will give like a certain percentage of my sales back to you guys, kind of as like a booth fee. And then you can give that to your philanthropy. So the Greek like life events that I was like asked to be in and like still go to are a huge win for me in my business. And I'm like super, super grateful for that one decision I made to like join a sorority and like get involved. And I'm really, really grateful for that. So although like Greek life markets go super, super well for me, I did have like one market that I call like my kind of like fail in air quotes. And that was this fall. So this summer, my friend like sent me a market that he saw in Denver. It was supposed to be super, super big. There's like 200 plus vendors there. And just to kind of put in perspective, the booth fee was $600 alone. So it was very, very big. And it was supposed to draw like 2,000 plus shoppers to it. And I personally had never, like at Greek life events, I never have to like be like, hey, like you should buy this necklace, like because it looks so good on you, whatever. Because girls just are like, oh, I like this necklace, I want it. But at this event, I had to like, you know, try and sell people on my pieces, which was really like a first time for me. So I was grateful to like make all my money back, but not really any profit at the event. And for like the whole event, it was a big flunk. Like all the vendors, like they didn't do very well. But I don't regret like going to that market, because like it was good exposure and like, I don't know, but I don't know, there's no regrets for it. But I think it really showed me like, just like how important it is to like focus on your niche market, and like just that Greek life events are like really my place, or like an event that's like only like, or mostly like dominantly girls, which I think is really important. And like, I'm grateful that I learned it kind of earlier on in my business. So that's kind of like where my business is today. I did get an office, which was pretty cool for a few months. And then I went abroad, so I decided to end the lease. But that was super cool to prepare for abroad. And everything's going really well. Online orders are going well. I just had 30% off sale for my birthday, and that was super fun. And it's been super cool to like interact with the girls, and I'm excited for all the pop-ups that I get to go to once this crazy time is over and like once I'm back at school. So yeah.
That is super awesome. So just one of the things that I heard you talk about in there, Sid, was that you started your business right before you went to college. And if you're a high school senior out there, or a just finished your freshman year of college or still in it, you know how much change goes on from high school to college. So how were you able to manage your time, so to speak, when you were trying to get this business going and trying to adjust to college? I know you said in the beginning you were really focusing more adjusting to college, but did your business help you settle in, so to speak, to where your niche is at school?
Yeah, so definitely getting to college, it was kind of like overwhelming, you know, like meeting new people and just figuring out like what you want to be a part of and so forth. But I'm in the College of Business at my school. I know Colin is too. And I mean, the workload freshman year wasn't too bad for classes and such, but definitely it was hard for me to keep up on the marketing aspects of my business, which is like so crucial to market your business. And that's really where I've seen the difference in my business, because I was in my one business mentorship class and this freshman Kelly was like, man, like I really need a job. And I was like, Kelly, like I've seen your work ethic, like you're pretty like dedicated, organized, and like, you know what's going on. Like, would you like possibly want to try out working for me for a month? And she was like, yeah, like, let's do it. And like, I love Kelly. So she got hired. She works for me like full time now. And she does all of like the social media marketing aspects of things, and she kills it. And so I think like what I learned from that is that I need to distribute like the busy work things, like the things I hate about like that I like don't like doing, you know, to like other people, even if it costs money, because then I can focus like my attention to the things I love about my business. And like, I think that like being in a sorority like has like helped me find like my group of people that keep me like focused and like driven to do it. And like, they always remind me like how cool it is that I have a business. So that's kind of fun too.
Yeah, for sure. So you've actually been able to, you know, I didn't realize that you have been able to make enough money quick enough to be able to hire an employee, and that mm-hmm. can kind of take some delegation and then figure out how you can focus on your goals and where you need to take the business, so to speak. So in that sense, I know you kind of knew Kelly as, you know, in your mentorship class or whatever, but is there something inside you? I know some people have there's a lot of trust that goes into business. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you talk about that and how you kind of had to learn to trust her, or was there trust right away, or?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think any like person that starts their own business can like vouch for this, but it's kind of like your baby. Like, you don't want to distribute any work to anyone because it's kind of like a trust thing. Like, I know I can do it to my liking, but I don't know if someone else can. And like, maybe they'll do it and like I'll like regret distributing it to them because I'll be like, shoot, like I could have done it better, or like, you know, like I can just do it. But I think Kelly kind of like worked her way up to prove to me that she, like, I could trust her, because, you know, starting off, like, she didn't do all of the marketing stuff. Like, she started off with kind of doing the dirty work of like counting inventory, which Kelly and I can both tell you is probably the worst thing about my business, is just like counting inventory to make sure it's correct, because that was a big failure for me at the beginning of my business, and I really hate refunding people for pieces they ordered. Because it's a lose for them and a lose for me. But then Kelly worked up to prove to me that she can take the workload that I like that I give to her. And we actually just had a work meeting last week that we'd never had before. And it was really awesome just to kind of talk through our communication styles of like, Kelly, like, what can I do better? What do I think you can do better? And she was like saying that like there was still like a little lack of communication, because like as an owner, you like think of things, you know, and like you just think you can do it, but it's important to like inform your whole like, you know, team. And so I was like, okay, so true. Like I have to give it up and just realize that Kelly can take it and she's going to kill it because she kills everything she does for us. So I'm like so grateful for her. So definitely trust is like a huge thing. And I've like grown to like trust Kelly, but definitely for like any entrepreneur or anyone starting their business out there, like it's totally understandable if you're like lacking the trust aspect in people to do work for you.
Yeah, I know that's something that I definitely struggle with is sometimes I feel like, I don't know, like if I can trust this, and it's not that I can't trust the person, but I just feel like sometimes it's so much easier the way you think about it than trying to explain it to someone else. But I think the way, you know, you've said like, okay, delegation, how do you delegate? What do you need to delegate? And I think something like you were looking at saying, all right, my media, I don't like doing the media part of my business and my job. How can I get someone that likes to do it and help me and is good at it and can help me as a whole? You know what I mean? And so,
yeah. And I think it's cool because Kelly too has like pushed me to be more organized in my inventory. Even like, I'm pretty sure she's like a very type A person. Like she is so organized. It's amazing. But like she saw my inventory at the start and she like about had a heart attack and she was like, you need to get organizers. You need to like do this, this, and this. And she's like, then I can like really organize this inventory for you. And so I did. And I still use that system to this day and it works amazing. So I think like giving your trust to someone like can benefit you obviously as well for so many reasons, but I think it just like takes the load off you and lets them give you ideas too, which can help you in the long run.
That's super cool. So one of the things I keep hearing you bring up is your inventory and how you've kind of struggled with inventory. And I know me and you have talked about it in the past, but can you explain to people a little bit about how exactly your jewelry drops go and how you make your jewelry, how you go about the whole thing, how you get the supplies from the beginning of a raw material, make them into a product, and then of figuring out how to control your inventory and some of the struggles you've seen with this? Because I know a lot of people out there that have product, like a physical product type business. Everyone goes through an operations management class, but I think maybe you could explain to people until you get there, it's something that you have to kind of critique to your specific business.
Yeah, for sure. I took a supply chain class last year and it was kind semi-applicable to my business. It was focusing more on large businesses like Amazon, but it truly is so interesting to see how different businesses go about their supply chain and like the creation of their products. So basically how I create a product launch, I get a ton of DMs about this asking like, what is your inspiration? Like, how do you plan this? So what I do is I get a ton of my jewelry supplies off of Etsy, which is kind of weird because that's what I sold on, but they have a bunch of like unique jewelry suppliers. Specifically, I get a ton of my medals from Istanbul, Turkey, get a bunch of charms from South Korea, some stuff from China. I'm trying to lay low on that one. But I don't have like any huge launches coming up, so I'm doing good there. But basically in my past collections, I would like see a charm or like a chain for a necklace or a choker that I like, and I would order it in bulk to get the wholesale price. And a lot of times if I like message the seller on Etsy, they'll give me even more of a discount, which is really cool. And I've really gained awesome, connections and just like networking through these suppliers because they like know that I'm going to order and they know I'm like a loyal customer to them. So they're willing to give me more of a discount and they're willing to like upgrade my shipping and stuff, which is really cool. But all of like the pieces for the collection come in at different times and I just start putting together the pieces as I like see them, you know, coming in. Sometimes the charms are bigger than I thought or smaller than I thought, or the chain isn't as shiny, whatever. But I just start creating the pieces so that they're all cute and, you know, will look good as if you're wearing them. So then I like package them all. And what I used to do in the past, like I said, is I would order the pieces, but I wouldn't put them together right away because it is a lot of work to like, you know, get all this jewelry supply sent in and then just sit down and grind out all of the necklaces that you're going to make from it, all of the earrings or chokers or whatever. So what I changed in my last collection was because I was going abroad, so I had no other choice but to make sure it was done for my inventory. So I sat down and made, like, I made way too much inventory, and that's something I can talk about. But for abroad, I didn't want to, like, be short on inventory, so I kind of overestimated, which is fine. And I made a ton of inventory and just, you know, started stacking in the boxes that Kelly and I use for inventory. And I guess I'm losing my train of thought. So make all the pieces and then make the inventory. And then I price things out. I already priced out, like, how much every item costs, which takes a long time because there's usually a lot of pieces in a, like, set of jewelry, like a jewelry piece. But then I price it out, and then I have to, you know, go and take all the photos for the jewelry pieces, and then, like, make all, and then Kelly makes all the advertising for it, and then I upload it onto my Shopify and, like, you know, customize all of, like, the search engine tags on the pieces, like, all the collections that it'll go into. And my least favorite part is probably taking the product photos. I've definitely thought about, like, outsourcing that to someone else, because others can probably do it better than I can, but for now I do it. It's just kind of tedious, busy work that I don't super love because I don't like, you know, taking the photos and then editing them. But after all, everything's uploaded into my Shopify, which is where my website is, then I can release it. So that's how I've done all my collections in the past, but I do have a new collection coming out here in a month. So if you're listening to this, it's kind of a little teaser. And this one I did a little differently. So before I actually bought all the pieces, I put them all in my cart, and I priced everything out on my Excel spreadsheet of just, like, is this going to be worth it to make? Which has been a question I haven't asked in the past. And I think it's really important to make sure a piece is worth your time to make and to sell. And so for this collection coming up, all the pieces are worth selling for me. I made sure of that. And I can, you know, now price out, like, okay, well, if I sell it at this price, how much profit am I going to make? So I'm excited, even more excited for this next collection, because I know what everything's going to look like number-wise, and I know what it's going to look like design-wise. So kind of a long process there, but that's how I do it. Collections are not easy, but that's just how my business rolls. So that's how it goes.
Yeah, I think there's something that we can both agree on, that so far, to my knowledge, there's no, like, super quick way to make money. Like, it's work. It's no doubt. It seems, you know, I'm no expert on it, but everything I've done to this point has been a lot of work.
Like, something that I learned in my supply chain class, which kind of, like, stabbed me in the heart when my professor said this, but he was like, there's a famous inventory business quote, and it says something like, inventory can be the death of a business, which is so true. Like, right now I have a ton of inventory because I thought I was still going to be abroad, and it, like, sickens me to, like, look at it every day. But I know if I was still abroad, like, I wouldn't look at it. And, like, this is the amount of jewelry I would need for a pop-up, but we can't have pop-ups right now. So it's just, inventory is kind of like a mind game. Like, it's like all your money is sitting in this product. So that's why inventory is so important to, like, gauge of, you know, the right amount to buy. And I'm finally getting that down, which is good.
Yeah, that seems like it's, I've kind of kept up with you. Obviously, I've known you all throughout freshman year and kind of watched you grow. And I think what we've talked about, that's been, you know, one of your better learning points to this point, has been, like, you've really figured out how to take your orders and make sure that you are getting as close to 100% customer satisfaction as possible. You know, you don't sell out, you don't run out of inventory, you know how much inventory you have, and you try to sell it on your website. And that kind of brings me to my next question and point, is that if someone is going to start selling something online, have an e-commerce store, I know that you've tried Etsy and have since then gone away from Etsy and designed a Shopify. Can you kind of explain why you've done that, and what are the benefits and the cons of each?
Yeah, for sure. That's an awesome question. So when I was looking at the pros and cons of both, you know, an Etsy shop versus, you know, creating your own website platform, which could be through, like, Shopify or Wix, those are both really popular options. I just decided to go through Etsy because it's an easy setup. All you have to pay is a 20 cent listing fee per item. So it's like very small investment. And they kind of do all like the marketing stuff for you on there, which is really sweet. And obviously you can like pay more to like get more marketing on Etsy. But after first semester of freshman year, like after Christmas sales, I saw what Etsy was taking from me and in my sales, like they take a percentage of everything you sell, and they had taken over $1,000 from me. So that was kind of a stab in the heart. So I started looking more into the website option because I was like, wow, like, I mean, in the long run, like $1,000 like of a fee for one semester is kind of ridiculous. Granted, I was still making profit, but like, you know, in the long run, not worth it. So I ended up going with Shopify. I love it. They charge you a 1 year like, you know, usage of their site thing, which I think is like $350, and then you have to pay a $14 domain like year coverage thing, which isn't bad, just to like have your domain for people to look up. And then from there, like, you can post as many listings as you want, and I think they take, I think, yeah, it's 3% of every transaction. When you are in person, they send you like a little like cubicle to like use at like pop-up events, which is really sweet. That's the swiping machine they send you is free, which is cool. But yeah, I love Shopify, but I think I'm really grateful that I started on Etsy because of the exposure it gave me, and it was just like an easy way to get up and start right away.
Yeah, so I know. So kind of what it sounds like is you would say, tell people to build on Etsy, build a following, mm-hmm. build a market, find an audience. And then once you have that audience, know where to target and go to Shopify.
Yeah, and I just like a month ago, actually, well, probably like 2 months ago, I officially like closed my Etsy shop just because it's really hard to like dual inventory two places. Like, after I launched my website on April 25th of last year, and I still had my Etsy up, but there was only like the best sellers, so like 5 things at the time, and it just really wasn't getting as much attention anymore because everyone was going to my website, or like, you know, since not as many people were buying on Etsy, like my site wasn't doing as well on there. So I just decided to take everything off, and it moved all to my Shopify website, which I'm really grateful for, and I'm glad I did that.
Gotcha. That's super cool. So I guess when we're talking about how you kind of created that audience on Etsy, I know earlier and kind of in your story, you credited a lot to Greek life and, you know, younger women that are in their 20s, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I know we've kind of touched on this a little bit. Have you tried to figure out how to get into different markets, or do you feel like your niche market is still what you need to focus on? You still have a lot of growth there, or what's kind of your goals of expansion, and how do you kind of plan to go about that in your business?
Yeah, so last week I created my 5-year plan for my business, and I graduate from college next spring, which is pretty crazy. But my goal, I mean, ideally it'd be amazing to be fully employed by my business. So that's definitely like one of my goals for the future, is to graduate with like my job being my income. But so audience-wise, right now it's definitely like college-age girls, and I was just abroad in Prague, but one of the weekends I went to Nice, France, and we went to the super cute boutique, and they had super cute jewelry, and I bought a ring, and it was like $40, which I would not usually do, but I was like, wow, like the girl said it wouldn't tarnish and stuff, which I think is really important, like really important that jewelry doesn't tarnish. So my goal is to like start upping the quality of my jewelry, which it is really good quality now, but just up it a little more so that girls that are like older in like the workforce are like feel confident to buy it and know that it'll like last them like, you know, weeks on end, you know, for their like when they're going into work and business and stuff. So that's definitely how I plan to like in the future grow my business into like a new niche, is just changing the quality of it. You know, think of like Kendra Scott, like she started just like me in college with jewelry that was like good quality, good price. And then she just kept growing the quality to match her age market, which I think is really cool. And I like love Kendra Scott's story. So that is my plan of attack for that. But it's hard to say that it'll work because everyone's business is so different.
Yeah. So you plan to kind of take this on after college. Like, I know we've talked a lot about kind of being your own boss, and that's really your thing and your MO. You graduate in what, a year? You're graduating a year early? Kick ass.
Yeah, I graduate in 3 years, which is pretty crazy. So yeah, next spring I'll be graduated. So I'll have to just turn 21 and then I'll be walking down and getting my diploma. But that like year after I graduate, I don't super plan to like get like a big, like intense job. Like I really think it'd be cool to like do like some part-time thing and then just continue to grow my business and just really like make myself rely on my business so that it'll grow more and I'll put more time into it. Because even just like being home from abroad, I've noticed that the more time I put into it on social media and just like talking about it, the more it's growing. Like I've grown like almost 400 followers since being home from abroad. So it's pretty crazy.
Gotcha. So let's talk about abroad for a second. How did you figure out how to delegate while you were abroad in another country in another time zone? Like that's something I honestly couldn't figure out how to do, and it doesn't work because it doesn't really fit my business model, obviously. But
right,
how did you go about that?
Yeah, so I like really, really planned out my semester abroad for my business. Kelly and I sat down and we talked about when every sale was gonna be, if there was gonna be some, you know, one every month, or what it was going to look like for the semester. Granted, circumstances have changed with the virus, so the sales are kind of changing up a little bit. But Kelly and I sat down, and she runs all my social media, and I hired my friend Nikki to do newsletters. So she sent out 2 a month, and it was just like promoting my business, and that was really awesome. It was good to have those. And my sister, I logged into my Shopify account on her computer, and I taught her how to do inventory and orders and everything. So for like a month and a half, well, like 2 months, my sister was doing all of the orders for HippieDU. And honestly, she did a better time at turnaround than me, because she is the type of person when like an order comes in, she has to do it that day. Where before I was abroad, I would like wait a day and do it. But now I'm like, well, I have nothing better to do. Like I'm going to do it right away. And so yeah, that's been like a good thing I've changed, is like getting orders out right away. But being abroad, it actually was really hard for me, because I like being like signing all of like the order, like letters that I put in all the orders, and just like having it be very personable. And it's hard with, it was a 7-hour time difference. So like when I was waking up, everyone was like middle of their sleep. So it was definitely challenging. And like, I like am grateful for my experience abroad, but it definitely like wasn't the best for my business, but I'm glad I went through it so that I know what I would do in the future if like I was traveling or something for a long time.
Gotcha. So one last kind of thing that, you know, I'm always curious about is how, I know you have your jewelry business, but is there anything else you do that's kind of, I know like as an entrepreneur, you're probably always thinking about different ideas and how to make your stuff better. Let's talk about side hustles for a second. How do you go out on the street and hustle, do your thing? You know, what do you add on? I know you talked about, I know you kind of have a photography thing, you're editing your own pictures. You know, what's some side hustles that you've kind of used to help fund HippieDU?
Yeah, so my whole creative drive started in high school, as I said before, but I started a photography business in high school, and I got kind of chirped for that low key. I remember like I was in the lunchroom and people were like, oh, like you think you're going to do a photography business now? And I was like, well, why not? Like I take photos, so might as well make money of it. And it actually, it's gone really well. I get like a ton of seniors every summer, so I take their senior photos. And then this last summer, I've always loved video work, so I filmed 2 weddings last summer, and that was really amazing. And I have a few on the calendar for this summer. Fingers crossed they happen. But that has super helped me in my business, just in the aspect of like promotional stuff. Like I can create all of my own photo like advertisements. I can create all my own video like advertisements. And so that's been really awesome. And I love thrifting clothes. So if I find any that I like can think other people would wear better than me, like maybe it's not my size or something, then I sell that and then I make money off of that too. So I just kind of do a lot of random little things. HippieDU for sure is my biggest one, but I kind of just like always have to be doing something. So all of those things keep me really busy.
Gotcha. Yeah, I feel like every person I've talked to so far with their own small business has some kind of side hustle. You know, they're doing, you know, whatever. And it sounds like the skills that you learned early on kind of helped you with HippieDU.
Yeah, for sure. I know that a big fear for people when starting their own business is like kind of like the fear of rejection, I guess you could say, like the fear of failing. But that truly like wasn't a fear of mine when I started HippieDU, because it was my like technically third business business idea I started. So I'm really grateful for the confidence that I've had since starting HippieDU, but I definitely know the feeling. And like, it's easier in college, I feel like, when you start a business, because no one really cares like what you do. And like, even in high school, if you start a business, people don't care. It just seems like they do. So getting chirped in the lunchroom was all worth it.
Yeah, sounds like it. I probably would have been talking smack to you if I saw. Just kidding. And I think that's something that's really important in listening to other people talk is, you know, how to, you talked about confidence, you know, we talk all the time about how we're going to use these skills in the rest of life. I mean, how are you using what you learned big picture? You know, not everyone on here is going to be able to relate exactly to jewelry, an e-commerce site, but how does someone like that has a totally separate business idea kind of apply what you've said into their life? And how have you applied what you've learned big picture wise, big skills, values, whatever? How do you let those values influence you and your business for the rest of your life?
Yeah, big picture, starting your own business, or just like being entrepreneurial mindset wise, it makes you just like try and be good at everything, or like, you know, figure it out. It definitely makes you a fast problem solver. Like, if there's something wrong, like, boom, you are in charge of it. You have to figure it out right away, like, on the spot, which I think before I would kind of, like, get overwhelmed with that. But now I'm like, well, like, this is just how it's going to go. You take the idea you think of and you just run with it, because sometimes that's just how it goes. And I also, like, another weird thing, like, having your own business has allowed me to do is in, like, interviews, like, it's a really awesome thing to talk about, because to start your own business, that like implies so many things automatically about you as a person. So in interviews, it's really awesome to talk about your business and just like all the things you've learned. I know, gosh, I don't even know where to start with what I've learned. I think owning your own business like teaches you more than anything like an entrepreneur class could teach you, because like you're actually doing it. Like, okay, like, who's going to run the customer service side of things? Like, what are your customer service standards? Like, there's just so many little aspects of a business you would never think of. And I think in the long run, it'll make me, like, so much more dependable. It'll make me so much more, like, fast responding. Just, like, really understanding of people's situations, because, like, that's just what my business has taught me.
Awesome. I think, you know, that's one of the biggest things is when we're young still and people are kind of listening and trying to figure out, all right, how is she applying this? What is she going to do with it? I think it's important to realize that if you don't have all the answers right now, just take a step forward. Take one step forward and see where that step leads you. And then when that step opens one door, just like it did for you with the sorority girls, where you put your next door, and then all of a sudden you had a pop-up shop, and then you had an Etsy, and then you have a Shopify, and now you're doing this and doing that. And now I know you've recently added apparel and stickers to your website and all that stuff. And so it's kind of helping you build. Well, you know, like when it's all said and done, is this going to be something that you take and mass manufacture? You know, and that's a lot of the big questions and the big pictures, but I think hopefully it's kind of, you've kind of internalized it and turned it into values and how you let those values influence your business.
Yeah, and I think for sure, like, the greater the risk you take, the greater the reward. I know I've definitely seen that in my business, and, like, I just couldn't even imagine, like, if I didn't take some of the risks I did to, like, you know, make certain pieces or start doing apparel, like, your business grows 10 times faster if you, like, think of your idea and if you're confident behind it, and people will see that confidence and follow you and believe in you. So I think that's really important.
All right, Sid, I think you feel like we covered your story pretty well? You felt like you did it justice?
Oh, yeah.
You felt like,
I think I did it all right.
You felt like you did the first entry justice?
Yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed listening to my story. If you guys have any questions or just ideas, or if you know anyone who you'd love to hear their story, message us or comment. We'd love to hear from you guys. It was super fun talking to you guys and telling you guys my story. I hope you liked it.
Yeah, for sure. Like, give us a comment. Let us know what you think. Also, let us know what we can do better. Like, we're so new at this. It's like we're just looking for some direction, you know? Like, don't be afraid to tell us the truth if you think it's not good, and tell us where we can improve, and we will absolutely do our best.
Yeah, we're open to constructive criticism for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a little sneak peek for next week. That this week's episode, you've listened to the whole thing if you made it to this point. We have our first international storyteller coming on the show. And he is actually someone that has made it through the trenches. So Sydney is someone that's still in the trenches, working really hard. This guy figured out when he was 20 years old and was able to retire by the time he's 27. So if you enjoyed Sydney's story, I know I enjoyed listening to it. You're going to enjoy next week as well, and hopefully the coming weeks to follow. Hopefully we've given you a reason to come back.
I cannot wait for you guys to hear it. This kid is literally insane what he does. So it's going to be amazing. And thanks for listening to the Founders Journal.
Yeah, we'll see you guys back here next week.
Yeah, see you on Monday.
Peace.